Okay, this morning, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of James. And I want to read just a little bit in this book, and then we're going to go back and look at some Old Testament prophecies. And we'll see that as we get into this fifth chapter, just as we saw at the beginning of the book of James, James was written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Now, if you read the Old Testament covenant relationship between the nation of Israel and the Lord, the Jews said, while they were in Egypt, or after they came out of Egypt and they crossed over the Red Sea and at Sinai, they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And yet, while Moses was on the mount getting the law, and God had spoken the law to the Jews said in the 20th chapter of Exodus, let not God speak with us anymore, because as God spoke the word of God or the law to the nation of Israel, it terrified them. So they said, let not God speak with us anymore, but you speak with us. And then Moses introduced the concept of the sacrificial system, and that if you were going to make a sacrifice or make an altar, you'd make it of earth. And so earth, there used to be a saying, cheapest dirt. Yeah. So that the Jews were not to, when they made an altar, they were not to make an altar of hewn stone. If they were going to make it of stone, they had to use natural stone. But if they lifted up their tool upon it, it was polluted. So let's read a little bit of this fifth chapter now. It says, go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Now, we'll read over in the book of 1 Thessalonians, we find that we as believers in Jesus Christ are not reserved for wrath. That is, we are not going to be judged for the lives that we live, because Christ was judged for what we are. Christ paid for all of our sins. And we're accepted in the love, in the beloved, and the Scripture teaches us that we are, to serve the Lord. There's only one way that we can please Him, and the Scripture says over in the book of Hebrews, the just shall live by faith, or in Romans, the just shall live by faith, and in Hebrews, and the law is not of faith. Okay, so. So that we understand then that if we're going to please God, we have to believe God. Yeah. And in Hebrews, then it says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So He says, go to now, you rich men, and weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you. Now, when we look at the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can see that the Jews had the concept that if you were rich, you were blessed of God. But if you were like the beggar and the rich man, remember Lazarus, when he died and the rich man died, and Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom and being comforted, and the rich man could look across the great gulf and see Lazarus. And so he said to Abraham, send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Now, the nation of Israel, it was because of an extrapolation of the law. They had the concept that if you were rich, if you were doing very well, that was because of the blessing of God. And then if you were blind or had leprosy or anything of that sort, you were cursed of God. Yeah. And of course, the truth of the matter is we're all cursed of God because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous, the scripture tells us, not even one. So it goes on to say here, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and you shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You've heaped treasure together for the last day. Now, the nation of Israel is going to have to go through what we call the Great Tribulation period. And if we go back, let's go back to, let's go to Thessalonians first, 2 Thessalonians, or 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter. And it says, with respect to the coming of our Lord, in verse 16 of the 4th chapter, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, that's the next prophetic event that we as believers in Jesus Christ are looking for. It's often called the rapture of the church, though that term is not used in the Bible. It's the first resurrection. And if we go back in prophecy, we see that there was to be a period of seven sevens and three score and two sevens, or 490 years. And that was from the decree of Cyrus for the Jews to rebuild the temple. And then we saw that the Lord came after 483 years and had his public ministry. Then he was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead. And then we have a gap between the, we have the 483 years, but we have a gap between the 483 years and the 7 years. And when we get into the book of the Revelation, we find out that the 7 years are 7 years of tribulation. And that period of tribulation is for the nation of Israel. And it's to get them, because they crucified their Lord, and to change their mind. And there will be those that believe. And during that period of time, the Antichrist is going to come to the earth and counterfeit the second coming of Christ. And he's going to build the temple in Jerusalem. And at the midpoint of the Great Tribulation period, he's going to cause, everyone is going to have to worship him. And if they fail to worship him. And so when we look at the 17th chapter of the book of Luke, let's look there for just a minute. People mix this up with the first resurrection, and this is really about the Jews fleeing Jerusalem during the Great Tribulation period. I think I'm right here now. Let's see. Okay, now it says in verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and shall not see it. And they shall say, see here or see there, go not after them. In other words, there are going to be false Christs. And there already have been many false Christs. And one of the first was a man by the name of Bar Kokhba. And basically the nation of Israel went after him. And Herod, also claimed to be the Christ. And they, when we read about it in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, we see that God struck him, and because he was lifted up in pride. And we don't read it there, but in history we read that it took him 5 years, or not 5 years, 5 days to die. And all the time that he was dying, the Jews were prostrated outside and praying for him because they thought that he was the Messiah. So they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ but accepted Herod Agrippa. Okay? So then he says to them here, and they shall say to you in verse 23, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth one out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his days. So, in other words, the Scripture says of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes in his second coming that every eye shall see him. But he's going to come for believers first, and that will be 7 years. And when he comes for us, he's going to come as a thief in the night. You know, thief comes and takes away his jewels, and we're likened unto jewels over in the book of Malachi. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Now, the conditions in the days of Noah, we have to kind of do a little extrapolation here to understand it. But in the days of Noah, there was only one commandment given, and nobody could break it, you know. But they were all counted to have broken it in Adam, because in Adam all die, and in Christ all that are in Christ will be made alive. So there wasn't any law, because the only commandment that had been given was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So when Adam ate of that tree, and we can see this in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, then we're counted to have eaten of it. So that as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. Now, in the days of Noah, people were all caught up with the idea of making themselves like God by the works of their own hands. That's what the devil deceived Eve with that concept. You know, he said to her, well, Elohim, or God doth know, that when you in the day that you eat thereof, you'll be like Elohim, or be like God, knowing good and evil. Same word both places, but the way it's translated is, God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, you'll be like the gods. You know. Now the word is plural in Hebrew, and God is a plural being. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or, you know, actually we as believers in Jesus Christ, we're a plurality too. I've got a body. You can see my body. You can't see my soul. But as I preach the truth of the Word of God, there's evidence that my spirit has been quickened or made alive by the Holy Spirit so that I understand the things of the Word of God and can proclaim that truth. So I've got a body, and I've got a soul, and I've got a spirit. And then I'm also indwelt by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, according to the Gospel of John. Jesus promised the disciples that, you know, the Spirit that was with them in the Old Testament would then be in them and would never leave them nor forsake them. And then as he gets down to the end of that 15th chapter, he says, and I and my Father will come and make our abode. So believers are indwelt by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we, as individuals, we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. You know, unsaved people just have a body and a soul. You know, because their spirit died when Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So then he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day. In other words, life just went on until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. It took Noah 120 years to build that ark. Yeah, and I'm sure that they ridiculed him. What are you doing? I'm building an ark. Well, what's an ark? Well, it's going to save us from the flood. Now, it never rained upon the earth at that point in time, so what's a flood? You know, so they thought he was a fool. You know, but every plank that went into that ark was representative. The ark was a refuge to redeem man from the judgment that was coming upon the earth. Now, the devil in those days sent angels down, the sons of God they're called, to cohabit with the daughters of men. And we read about them over in the book of Joel, you know. And so what the devil was trying to do was to break the link between Adam and us. Okay? Because angels are individually created, you know. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. And God's given us the blood upon as an atonement upon the altar, because without the shedding of blood is no remission. But we have to be related to Adam, and we have to be, and Christ has to be related to us. Yeah. So he's related to us, but with our sin nature, because the blood that flowed in his veins came from his father, and the blood that flows in our veins came from our father. See? And so as in Adam all die, so in Christ all were made alive. So he says they ate, they drank, and so on and so forth. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now we're talking about, you know, comparing what Lot fleeing Sodom with the tribulation period. And so he says, even thus shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. Now, many people have mistaken this with the first resurrection. But we don't have any choice as to whether we go. You know, when the Lord says, come up hither, everyone who has trusted Jesus Christ as Savior is going to be resurrected. But the Jews at the midpoint of the tribulation, when the Antichrist and the false prophet come to Jerusalem to dedicate the temple that has been built, they will come there to dedicate it, and the false prophet is going to set up an idol of the Antichrist in the temple and demand that people worship it as God. And any Jew that understands, you know, especially after all of the things that they've been judged for over the years in failing to keep the law, they would know then to flee. So he goes on to say, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, which shall be on the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And then he says, remember Lot's wife. Now, remember, the Lord came. In the form of angels, came to get Lot, and they literally had to drag him out of Sodom. You know, he had made a lot of money there. He was involved in the government of Sodom, and he had just kind of overlooked all of the goings on in Sodom. And then this is Lot. He was involved in the government. You know, that's what it means that he set the gate. He was involved in the rulership of Sodom. And so when the angels let him out, he had sons-in-law, but his daughters were still virgins. You know, it speaks of the fact that, in Sodom, it was, basically homosexuality as a form of worship thing. And so he says, remember Lot's wife. You know, and what? Lot's wife, they were told, don't look back. And this is instruction the Jews, when they're to flee Jerusalem, don't look back. Otherwise, you're caught up in the judgment. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. So the Jews are going to be taken in to Midian, where they were for 40 years, and they're going to be hidden there from the presence of the Antichrist because they're going to refuse to worship the Antichrist. Okay. Now, let's go back to James for just a moment, and then we'll come back to our text here in Thessalonians. Okay, now, so he says to them, we're talking about rich men, and the Jews counted rich men to be blessed of God, and anyone that wasn't rich was cursed of God. And he says, Behold the hire in verse 4 of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which of you is kept back by a fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter and before refrigeration, whenever you butchered, you had to eat. You could have any cut of meat that you wanted, as much as you wanted, because there wasn't any way to preserve it for a lengthy period of time. So you've nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. And you've condemned and killed the just. Who condemned and killed the just? The nation of Israel said, We will not have this man to reign over. The Gentiles and the Roman government were involved too, and our sins put him on the cross of Calvary. So he says, Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rains. Now, early and latter rains in the Old Testament were connected with the feast of the Jews, and there were seven. And the first three feasts represented Christ in his first advent. The middle feast of Pentecost represented the church age because they offered on that day an offering of a meal offering made with leaven. And of course, there's no such thing as unsaved Jews and unsaved Gentiles in the church age. We still have a sin nature, and if we should say that we do not, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So, sandwiched between the first three feasts and the last three feasts, then the first part of the last three feasts is the Feast of Trumpets. Well, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That speaks of the rapture of the church, which is 7 years before the coming of the Lord to the earth. And then on the Day of Atonement, that speaks of when the Lord, as we read over in the book of Zechariah, when his feet shall touch upon the Mount of Olives, the Jews are going to look at him whom they pierced and believe and be saved. So that's the Day of Atonement. The high priest would make a sacrifice for the Jews' sin, enter in to the holiest of holies, put that blood upon the altar, and then when he would come out, he would bring salvation to the nation of Israel. And salvation is not going to come, it's going to come to individual Jews, but to the nation as a whole, it's not going to take place until they look on him whom they pierced, when his feet touch the Mount of Olives. So that's like the Feast of the Day of Atonement. When the Lord will leave the tabernacle and stand before the nation of Israel again, and when they look on him, according to Zechariah, when they look on him whom they pierced, they're going to believe and be saved. So, what James is writing here couldn't be written to Christians. It has to be written to unsaved Jews. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. See, and it's at the second coming of the Lord that the nation as a whole will believe. See, you grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Now, I want to go back and look again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for Lord, in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Now, that's when he comes as a thief, prior to the Great Tribulation period. But of the times and seasons, brethren, as we go into the fifth chapter, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So he's going to come, you know, when does this thief steal the jewels? In the night. And according to the book of Malachi, those that are redeemed are referred to as the jewels of the Lord. See? So he's going to come and take the church away. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you. Now, Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and we saw, you know, which was made up of both Jews and Gentiles. Yeah. But they're saved people. And a Jew is counted a Jew until he trusts the Lord as his Savior, and then he's no longer counted as a Jew under the law. You know, and they are, incidentally, even though Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, Jews are still counted under the law because they're told, pray that when they have to flee Jerusalem, that it doesn't take place, you know, on the Sabbath day, you know, or in winter. But let us who are of the day, that's believers, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God, now this is only true of believers, for God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. See? Now, no one is justified before God by the life that they live. It's better to do good than to do bad, but none of us can live to a standard to satisfy a holy and righteous God, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, let's go back and look in, let's see. Got a verse back here in, I think this is the one I want. Now, prophetically, in the ninth chapter of the book of Daniel, Daniel set the time when these things would take place. Okay? And no one knows the day or the hour, but in broad terms, he says to them, 77s, or 70 weeks, in verse 24, are determined upon thy people, that's the nation of Israel, and upon thy holy city, which is Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, or the sacrificial system, and to make a reconciliation for iniquity, that's the sacrifice of Christ, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, that's when Christ will come to establish his kingdom, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and that's within this period of time, both the Old and the New Testament will be written. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be seven, actually they say weeks, it'd be better, it's heptad in Hebrew, seven sevens, see. The Jews referred to a week as sevens, you know. And that's why the translator put weeks here, but it's seven sevens. So then there'll be seven sevens and three score and two sevens. See? And then the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous time. So that was when they returned from captivity in Babylon to Jerusalem. And then they rebuilt the temple. And then from there, taking us forward to the coming of the Lord, it says, and after three score and two sevens, so you add the seven sevens to the three score and two, which makes 69, you know, shall Messiah be cut off, that was, is he would be crucified, you know, and that was, took place. But then there's a gap between the 69th week of Daniel and the 70th week of Daniel, and it's the entire church age. See? And so the 70th week will begin when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise, and we'll be gone. Then the Antichrist is going to come to the earth in a counterfeit coming of the Lord and declare that he is the Christ, and many of the Jews are going to fall for him. You know, and so that's what James is writing here and warning them about. And that's, you know, we're not going to be here. So for James to be writing to Christians, as so many have misunderstood the book, no, it can't be, because we won't be here when the Antichrist comes. Okay? So now let's go back and pick up our text in James again. So, after he says that, he says, grudge not one against another in verse 9, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. So, every one of those Old Testament prophets were primarily rejected by the nation of Israel. They prophesied to them, but they rejected them. At one point in time, Jeremiah was thrown into a pit where he had to eat his own dung and drink his own urine. You know, the nation of Israel rejected the fact that he prophesied of the judgment that was to come. He told them to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. And they thought he was a traitor because, you know, if you want to preserve your life, surrender. You know, but and he said, don't go into Egypt. Well, a bunch of them went into Egypt and they all died there. Okay, so he says, behold, we count them happy which endure. You know, and everyone, you know, the Jews have had to endure a lot over the years because they are, quote-unquote, God's chosen people. Well, God had to use somebody, you know. Just because, you know, a lot of people have a terrible bias against the Jews because they're called God's chosen people, you know. And they look at a Jew and they you know, defame them with, you know, call them kikes, call them this, call them, you know, all of these things, because they see them as a scurrilous bunch, you know. Well, they are, you know. They're no better than anybody else. But why should they be God's chosen people? Well, God had to choose somebody, and whoever he chose, they would say the same thing. And in order to bring Christ into the world. And so he made the promise to Abraham. that of his seed. And Paul reminds us in Galatians that that seed is singular. He's not talking about the Jews who came from Abraham or Abraham's posterity. He's talking about one person who came from the loins of Abraham, so to speak, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So he goes on to say, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." You know, all of the things that happened to Job, but at the end he had more than he had at the beginning. You know, he had lost a wife, he lost his children, all of this, but then, you know, he endured all of those things, and the people despised him because, the devil says, "Let me hit my hand on him. I'll make him curse you to the face." You know. And so, but above all things, my brethren, but above all things, my brethren, and this is very common with the Jews, swear not. The Jews were always making oaths. You know, we're not talking about cussing here. We're talking about making an oath. Swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Now, this next verse is so distorted by people, there are preachers that carry a little bottle of olive oil around in their pocket, so that if any sick, they can anoint them with it. That's not what this is about, okay? Is any among you afflicted? Well, yeah, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Okay? Okay, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Psalms are songs, and they're basically prayers. Is any sick? Now, the word sick is the Greek word asthenes. And asthenes, we're not talking about being sick. We're talking about being weak. Is there any Jew among you that can keep the law? No. Is there any Gentile among you that can keep the law? No. So, writing to Jews of the diaspora, is any weak among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, back in the second chapter, and the translators were a little bit dishonest here. He says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to person." Was the faith that the Jews had the same faith that we have? Absolutely. There's only one faith. Read the fourth chapter of Ephesians. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. That is in all believers. Okay. "For if there come any unto your..." Now the translators were very dishonest here. This word is, it's synagogue. A synagogue. It's not ecclesia, which they would have translated assembly or church. Okay, so if anybody comes into your synagogue, well, where do the Jews worship? A synagogue. Okay, so here's another one of those points that shows us that the book of James, in the very first verse, says, "James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad." What is the prima facie evidence with respect to Jews being scattered in the Gentile nations of the world? If we go back to the book of Deuteronomy, we would find there that they were to be scattered because of unbelief. See? So, by making an assumption, we've had a lot of false teaching from this little epistle. Okay? So if anybody comes into your synagogue, for if they're come into your synagogue, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and they're coming also a poor man in vile raiment. This was the practice of the Jews. Okay? So now, we're getting down to what James was writing about. He was writing to unsaved Jews to bring them to faith in Christ. And so he says, is any weak among you? Well, before the law, can any of you stand before the law and say, I'm justified? No. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So is any weak among you? Let him call for not the rabbi, but for the elders of the church. See? Because at that point in time, if you were attending a synagogue, most of the synagogues, the Jews that were in them, were still unsaved Jews. Okay? So if you want to be able to hear the gospel proclaimed and have a cure for your weakness, your failure before the law, the cure for your weakness before the law is the blood of Jesus Christ, the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day. So call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. That is, what I'm doing right now, you're being anointed with oil. Because I am preaching the word of God by the power of the Spirit of God. And so he's enabling me to give forth things that I've probably forgotten long ago. I can remember a lot of things, but at 87 years of age, there's a lot of things I don't remember too. Okay? So he says, and the prayer of not faith, there's a definite article in front of faith that they didn't translate. What is the faith? How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And the prayer of the faith shall save the weak, not sick, the weak. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if they've committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay. That's where that's where the remedy for sin is. It's in the blood of Christ. He stood in our stead in life, fulfilling every jot and tittle of the law, and he stood in our stead in death, bearing our judgment on the cross of Calvary, and then he arose from the dead with power over sin, death, and the grave. And he's going to come and receive us unto himself. And of course, when we die, remember in the 14th chapter of John, he told the disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. That place is not a mansion over the hilltop. That place is a body for you to dwell in while your body is buried or cremated or whatever they do with it. It's still here on the earth, but you're not disembodied in heaven, and we can see that when Paul was stoned to death at Lystra in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And he said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell. Such an one caught up to the third heaven and saw things that were not lawful to be uttered. So he was immediately in the presence of God in heaven, but his body was still in the dump. But he couldn't tell whether he was in or out of his body. And then he was in the presence of the Lord in a body, which the Lord gave him. so that, you know, I go to prepare a place for you. So we will not be disembodied in heaven waiting for our body to be resurrected, you know. So then he goes on and says to them, confess your faults one to another, you know. The Jews need to recognize that they're not justified before God by the lives that they live, and pray one for another that you may be healed or that you might have salvation. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we'll have to stop there. We'll finish this next time. Okay? Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your wonderful love and goodness to us and for your grace. And we thank you that with a proper understanding, we see that this book was written to unsaved Jews to bring them to faith. And of course, there were many who came. All the first disciples were Jews. And yet, as a nation, they have drifted far from thee. And at the present time, they don't know thee. But when your feet touch on the Mount of Olives and they look upon him whom they pierced, they will believe and be saved. We praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.